How do we find real masculinity with Jesus hanging on a cross? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is titled Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jeff Hemmer. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Men in all stages of life will appreciate Man Up. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Man Up, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's been a lot of buzz about the Benedict option. We recently interviewed the author of the book, Rod Dreher, who's a regular guest on the program, about what he's calling really just the church being the church, Christians being Christians, Christian families being Christian families in a culture that is increasingly not just post-Christian, but in a lot of ways anti-Christian. Well, you know, there are a lot of people who have been doing that for a long time. They didn't call it the Benedict option, but maybe they just called it life. We're going to be talking with Cheryl Magnus about practicing the Benedict option and a little bit later preparing for Easter. Cheryl's a regular guest. She's a writer, musician, and homeschool mom in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and author of two recent columns for The Federalist. The first one, We Took the Benedict Option 20 Years Without Knowing It, and It's Paid Off, and Try These Eight Simple Holy Week Observances to Prepare Your Soul for Easter. Cheryl, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
When you started to see all the buzz about the Benedict option, this idea of Rod Dreher's, did it sound familiar to you and your husband?
It sounded very familiar to both of us. I've been hearing about the Benedict option for several years now. He's been writing about it for several years before actually putting the book out. And as I began to read and find out more about it, it really just sounded like the way we had been living our life for the last 20 years. It was very helpful to me to have somebody put a name to that. I really appreciate that. And as I've read the book now, in addition to things that I've read in the past, it just sounds even more familiar to me than it already did.
So how would you describe to someone else, a fellow mother or fellow husband or wife, what that looked like, has looked like in your family for the last 20 years?
Oh, there's so many things that I can give as examples. I think the first thing that I would point to, probably the most significant thing, was our choice about 20 years ago to begin homeschooling. And it was a choice that we made not because we were trying to do something like the Benedict option, but we just decided at that time that it was the best choice for our son, our oldest. But as we got into homeschooling and as we made that our way of life, we just discovered so many ways that it helped us to maintain our family culture, our family cohesiveness. It helped us to better prepare our children to go out in the world. It helped us to preserve our faith more effectively. So that's probably the central thing that we've done. There are so many other things that I could share, just regular family devotions, making the church the focus of our days. Homeschooling really allowed us to do that, too, because we weren't coming home from school at the end of the day so exhausted that there was no energy left for going to church. So the church is the focus of our lives, the focus of our days. Being very selective with the movies and the television, the books that we allowed into the house, limiting technology, networking with other people like ourselves. One of the things that's been a great blessing to me has been a network of homeschooling Lutheran moms that I've been in contact with now for almost 20 years. And I think that's an example of what Dreher talks about in the book as far as building community and networking with those people that share those values.
Now, you share a lot of the concerns that Rod Dreher expresses when he talks about the Benedict option. One of them is how Christians have unwittingly, in some cases, simply become, in biblical language, too conformed to the ways of this world. Talk about that, Cheryl.
I think I see this a lot among actually many of my fellow Christians, and that is just being too ready to accept whatever entertainment or whatever trends are going on in the culture. And so, you know, if it's the latest Disney movie, we're going to go see that movie because it's Disney without necessarily thinking through whether it's the best choice for our family. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. I have many friends that think deeply and seriously about all these things, but I think there are also Christians that are just too inclined to accept whatever the culture gives without really thinking about how it serves their family and their children.
It does happen, I guess, this conforming to the world, it does often happen unconsciously or so very gradually that even Christian parents who are deeply concerned about their families and their children find themselves pulled in, doesn't it?
It really does. It's difficult to fight against the culture because it comes at us all the time, everywhere, all day long. And, you know, even if we aren't sending our children to the public school, it's coming at them at church and in the youth group and in the parochial school. And even among homeschoolers, you know, you just can't get away from it. My kids don't have smartphones. That's a conscious decision that we made to not give them smartphones. In fact, my 24 and 21-year-old in college right now don't have smartphones. They don't want them. They sort of put me to shame in that regard because I'm pretty attached to my smartphone. But I think that these are just choices that we have to make very intentionally and not just going along with what the culture gives us. And I think that really is what I got more than anything from the book, is just the idea of intentionality, of making choices and not letting those choices be made for us.
You reference another book, Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. What did you find in that book along these lines that heightened these concerns for you?
Yes, I read Hillbilly Elegy not too long ago as well, and I make a parallel between them and the article that I wrote for The Federalist, because I see in both Hillbilly Elegy and Benedict Option, the concern with intentionality, again, making choices and not just simply accepting what you have been given. And J.D. Vance in Hillbilly Elegy writes at great length about his upbringing in hillbilly culture and how in many ways he was condemned to a certain kind of life, and yet he had the ability to make some different choices, and also with a lot of help. He talks about many different circumstances and people that enabled him to do this, but to make some different choices and to chart for himself a different kind of life than the one in which he was brought up.
How do you respond to someone who says, yeah, Benedict Option, 2 years from now, there'll be another one of these kind of books? It's just a gimmick.
Well, the article that I wrote for The Federalist, that's one of the things that I wanted to respond to. It started out as a response to a previous article in The Federalist in which the writer accused Dreher of basically just peddling a new gimmick to Christians. And for me, again, we've been doing this for 20 years, and so it's not a gimmick at all. You know, whether the book is history in a couple of years, it's still going to be the way that we are living our life, and I think the way that many Christians out there are living their lives. So in the sense that books come and go and people talk about them for a while and then move on to something else, certainly that will probably happen with the Benedict Option, but that doesn't change that there are many of us that are living the Benedict Option and will continue to do so.
Cheryl, you say that the Benedict Option, or whatever people are going to call it, it would just be, you know, the Magnus option for you guys, that it's about choosing. Why do you say that?
That's a very good question. I think that it's important for people to realize that the Benedict Option is not a how-to manual. And actually, when I started to write the article for The Federalist, I toyed with the idea of including in the article how I thought that we as a family did the Benedict Option, or why I thought that it applied to us. But I consciously decided not to do that because I think it's going to manifest itself differently in the lives of everybody that decides to approach their life with this kind of mindset. And it's all about making choices every moment of the day, every step of your way, that keep Christ at the center of your life. And those choices are going to be a little bit different in each life.
Finally, on this subject, Cheryl, another criticism that's been leveled at the Benedict Option is that it's opting for isolation. Is that true?
No, I don't think that's true at all. I think people are focusing in somewhat on the first part of the title of the book, Benedict, and that evokes a certain kind of monastic lifestyle and pulling away out of the culture. And there is that element. Dreher opens the book by talking about a flood and whether you're imagining Noah or Louisiana, the image is very helpful because what we're doing with the Benedict option is simply realizing that a storm is coming, a great flood is coming, and we need to be prepared to ride it out. So we pack up our boat, we save what we can, we take in what we need, we ride out the storm, but at the end of the storm, we're better equipped to climb out of the boat and then to meet the culture and the world once again on our terms and to hopefully be a blessing to it.
Cheryl Magnus is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk with her about preparing for Easter. What are you missing out on if you just let that holy day creep up on you? Stay tuned.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, April the 4th, we continue our conversation with Cheryl Magnus, author of a recent column for The Federalist. Try these 8 simple Holy Week observances to prepare your soul for Easter. Cheryl, we're going to talk a little bit about just some practical kind of things that many Christians just do as a matter of course in preparing for the celebration of Christ's resurrection. What's somebody missing out on if they just let Easter creep up on them, so to speak?
Well, you can't really have Easter unless you first have Good Friday. And Holy Week is all about taking us on the journey from Palm Sunday to Good Friday and then to Easter. So the second article that I wrote for The Federalist is all about trying to observe that and use Holy Week as a preparation for Easter so that when you get to Easter, you really fully appreciate the miracle of Christ's resurrection.
Beginning with Palm Sunday, which happens to be this coming Sunday, what should Christians know about it in this effort to prepare for Christ's resurrection?
Christians should know that Palm Sunday is the day on which Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, being hailed as a king, hosannas being sung, and palms being thrown in his path. But it's also the day on which his steps really turn, finally, towards the cross. And we see on Palm Sunday the same, or in the week that follows, these same people that hailed him as a king, and this includes us as well, turning against him in just a matter of days.
You say that it's a good idea to listen to Holy Week music. What kind of music are you talking about, and what's the benefit there?
Well, the music of Holy Week would be music that reflects the events of Holy Week, so Palm Sunday music, as well as Maundy Thursday and Good Friday music. And this kind of music, which you can hear by listening to Lutheran Public Radio, and also by looking for other articles, including one that I wrote a couple of years ago for The Federalist, will really help you to focus your mind and your heart on the events of Holy Week.
And then there is, and this is probably more time-consuming because it requires a little more effort here. You say reading your way through Holy Week. What exactly are you talking about?
Well, this would be another way to really focus the mind during Holy Week. And in preparation for writing this article, I actually went on Facebook and I asked for some ideas for if somebody wanted to do this, wanted to spend some time in deep reading for Holy Week. And there are several good suggestions included in the article. Probably the simplest way would just be to sit down, maybe pick one of the Gospels, perhaps Luke, and just read all the way from beginning to end through that story, through the story of Jesus' life.
And what's the benefit of doing that through Holy Week, as far as you're concerned?
Again, I think it helps to really focus us on the events of Holy Week and to prepare us for attending worship as well during Holy Week and reflecting upon those events that led up to Jesus' crucifixion and then his resurrection.
What kind of church services are found in Holy Week that you won't find anywhere else in the church here? Describe them to us, if you would.
Oh, you're going to find services that really point us to, well, I guess, you know, as a Lutheran, all of our services all year long point us to Christ's suffering and crucifixion. But in Holy Week, you're going to see those played out with even greater detail, greater drama. I think one of the great things about Holy Week as well for children is that when you go to church in Holy Week, you see just a rapid change in the decor, the adorning of the altar. You see all of the colors moving from purple, and then the stripping of the altar on Maundy Thursday, and then typically black pyramids on Good Friday, and then the lilies and the white pyramids coming out on Sunday. It's just a very rapid and striking visual journey through what's happening in this week. Very, very helpful for children especially.
What is a mini Lenten observance, and why do you recommend it for preparing for Easter?
Well, this would be particularly for people for whom maybe Holy Week and Easter have crept up on us. Maybe we've been very, very busy. We didn't really think about Lent or what we might do for Lent, and it's not too late. So perhaps next week, starting on Palm Sunday, you could decide at that point to give something up for the week, you know, whether it's chocolate or coffee, or perhaps you could commit to one of those reading plans that we talked about earlier. Or perhaps if you're like me and you're strongly attached to your smartphone, maybe this would be an opportunity. If it was just too much to give up for all of the 40 days of Lent, to give it up at least for Holy Week. So that's why it would be a mini Lenten observance.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about preparing for Easter with Cheryl Magnus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Talk a little bit about the role of fasting in the preparation for Easter as well. Then we'll be talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Passion of Christ in Matthew 27. Stay tuned.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC. Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about preparing for Easter with Cheryl Magnus, a writer, musician, and homeschool mom in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and author of a column for The Federalist. These 8 simple Holy Week observances prepare your soul for Easter. Now, you heard Cheryl mention before that one of the ways to prepare for Holy Week and Easter is to listen to solid sacred music. What you're hearing right now is our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio, that she mentioned. It's Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." You can listen anytime, day or night, absolutely free, at lutheranpublicradio.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Cheryl, there is one traditional preparation for the season of Easter that usually runs all the way through Lent, and that is fasting. What role would fasting play in Easter preparation?
This would be another way of just focusing the mind during Holy Week. And this actually ties back in a little bit with the Benedict option. One of the things that Dreher talks about is asceticism and the good practice of denying ourselves so as to better prepare for difficult times in the future. And that's kind of what fasting is. It's not a way of earning God's approval. It's certainly not a way of earning salvation, but it's a way of focusing the mind and preparing and paying closer attention to what's going on.
Your last two suggestions are kind of, if you're going to give up social media, good. If you're not, there's also something else you can do. What is it?
Yeah, so last two suggestions on this article were to unplug for the week, turn off the TV, shut down the computer, turn off the cell phone, sign off of social media, and just have a week of quiet away from all of it. On the other hand, if you're somebody whose bread and butter is writing and putting your work out there and hosting radio shows and that sort of thing, maybe that's difficult to do, but you could certainly limit your activity on social media and then maybe use that social media to draw attention to what's going on during that week. And this is what I've done the last couple of years. As Holy Week goes on Palm Sunday, I'll change my cover photo to something that reflects, to a work of art that reflects the events of Palm Sunday, and I'll continue through Holy Week doing that, posting very little, but changing the art on my social media just to reflect what is going on during the week.
Finally, Cheryl, you make a lot of suggestions here, but you say not to take them as a burden, but as a blessing. What do you mean by that?
Yes, I wanted to be clear at the end of this article that this list is not intended to weigh anyone down. I think especially for those of us that are in church all the time, We can get a little bit snarky at this time of year, and you may hear comments about the Easter Christians and the people that we're going to see on Easter morning that we don't see the rest of the year. And I wanted to be clear in the article that if you're coming back to church for the first time on Easter since last Easter, that's great. We want you there. God wants you there. And you can come without any preparation whatsoever. So this article is for those people that do want to think during the week before about how to better prepare themselves, but it's certainly not a reason to stay away.
Cheryl Magnus is a writer, musician, and homeschool mom in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. She's author of two recent columns for The Federalist. One, We Took the Benedict Option 20 Years Without Knowing It, and It's Paid Off. And Try These 8 Simple Holy Week Observances to Prepare Your Soul for Easter. You can read both of them and all her articles under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.